Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Truth is that every day we need the healing virtue of God, either to correct something in our body, or to prevent something, or just a flat out miracle. And we need to know and understand that. We need to be what I call the Generac principle. You know what a Generac is? That's a name brand for a generator. They're big in Houston. And a friend of mine just bought a new home in Houston, $500,000 home. He just moved there. And so he is having installed this week a Generac. And I'm very familiar with them. I've considered it for the church, but the size of the church would be very expensive. Like to have you can buy one relatively cheaply. To have it installed and working right, it costs about $10,000 for a normal home. And what happens in Houston when they have all those floods, they lose their power all the time. And that Generac kicks on, they've got power. Next door neighbor might not have any, they've got it. But there's two things about a Generac. Not only do you have to receive it and get it and get it in place, number two, you have to have an outside source of power. And so he happens to have a natural gas line there on his property, so that will supply that. Second thing is maintenance. I personally have a generator. If we have a problem in San Antonio, it won't help me a bit because I haven't started that thing up in a year and a half. It's brand new as far as the fact that it's never been used, but it probably won't start. Plus, I got to go get it. It's not in a convenient location. I just one day bought it on the spur of the moment. I said, I'm going to need this sometime. Hadn't thought about it again till right now. It's probably been sitting there for a year and a half. But the Generac is, you need it when you need it. Same thing about healing. But if you have a Generac professionally installed in Houston, Texas, what they do, they come and install it. They set it up perfectly. And they also have a system is that one time every 30 days, it kicks on. And it turns all your power off in your house, puts your power online to that Generac, and so you know it's working. It does it every month. And then they come out and they maintain it on a regular deal. So it's a great thing. Costs about $10,000 for people who can afford in Houston, Texas. Well, we need that because spiritually, because the Bible said when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard. You say, well, I'm feeling fine. You need to understand the principles of healing. You know, I told you that before Becky got her bad diagnosis and kind of shared with them that that Monday she got her report and she is cancer-free. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. But I told you before she got that report originally, on Monday, on Saturday, the Lord spoke to me. The Lord spoke to her. I had a time in my office. I went to the apartment. She and I had a time. It's just a real unique time. We talked about healing, and we didn't even know she was going to get that report 2 days later. And I said to you the other day, we were 2 days ahead of the devil. You need to stay at least 2 days ahead of the devil all the time. All the time. But the point is, if you're just unprepared when the devil comes in like a flood, you might have a problem. But you need to live a life where the Lord can raise up a standard in your life to oppose the enemy, and no matter what it is. A friend of mine, last night, I went to eat with a pastor friend of mine, and he said, I need to know how to transition from my church to my real life. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I've watched you succeed in business. So he said, I'm in business now, and my business is not doing good. And he said, my faith for my church is great. He said, my church is growing. We're having great things happen. But he said, I can't get that from my church into my business. He said, what's the key? I said, something I've never heard anybody talk about. It's called the self-same spirit. The self-same spirit. Everybody say that. Self-same spirit. Once you get the spirit, once you get a principle, it applies to yourself, It applies to your children. It applies to your grandchildren. It applies to your health. It applies to your spirituality. It applies to your money. It's the self-same spirit. And so what we're talking about is healing tonight, but it applies to everything in your life. It applies to spirituality. It applies to money. And you can take these principles and apply them to whatever the devil is attacking. And praise God, you just have like a Generac. The Lord's Spirit just rise up, and you've got another source. We thank God for doctors. We thank God for nutrition. But we've got another source. Just in case that shuts down, praise God, we've got another source. But we have to get it installed, and we have to keep it maintained, praise God. And we got to have another source for that, and that source is the Holy Spirit. Amen? Stand with me, if you would, please. Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You may be seated. Remember the definition of salvation? We talked about it last session. Soteria, which means in the Hebrew, and then soter in the Hebrew, and soteria in the Greek. What this means is it's a broader expression of what we believe when we talk about salvation. Inside, when I was a kid, grew up in church all my life, salvation meant that you weren't going to hell. And our key phrase in Pentecostal churches was, we wasn't going to split hell wide open. That's what they always said. You're going to split hell wide open. I'm not sure what that means, but that's what they always said. So salvation was mainly about not going to hell. We weren't really big about applying the principles of the Word of God on our daily bread. We didn't know much about, we knew a lot about the bread of life, but we didn't know about the daily bread. We didn't understand that every day of our life, that salvation was working for us. And so when you talk about this word salvation in the Greek or the Hebrew, it means not only save from eternal destruction, it means soundness, it means health, it means preservation, and there's just a whole lot of things that I went through the other day on that. It's found 45 times in the New Testament alone. And so the Bible teaches us that confession is a big part of our healing. What we say. What we say. What we say. It's so very important. And I cringe at really wonderful Christian people, the things they say. And I'm not talking about cursing or using God's name in vain. That's a whole other subject. I'm talking about the things that they say that they should not be say, that are counterproductive to their health and their healing and their restoration and their prosperity. The Bible teaches, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You get your heart full of the Word of God, that's what's going to come out. So be careful not to corrupt your confession, because your confession is a major part of the manifestation of your healing. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 33 through 34. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. He said, don't be deceived. What you say will corrupt you. It will affect you. In fact, what you don't say can have a negative effect, or at least not a positive production in your life. David said, when I held my peace, when I was silent, he said, when I didn't say, he said, my bones waxed old. What you say can be a healing balm in your life. And you learn to sing the Lord's song in a strange land. You learn to confess the Word of God. You learn to verbalize your adoration for your Creator and your Redeemer. It has healing elements in it. And it does matter what you say. And so we need to effectively communicate. I've loved this verse. I used to preach a whole sermon on when I traveled all the time. It's Philemon 1:6. That the communication of thy faith, it's very important to communicate your faith. I'm always amazed at people that are very adept in languages, people that speak more than one language, people that are bilingual. And then when you find someone, there used to be a lady here that was, she spoke seven languages. She attended church here, and I'd have her talk to me in Japanese. I didn't know a word. She might have been lying to me. I don't think she was. But I'd say, speak Japanese. She'd just talk to me in Japanese. I didn't know a word she said. But I was just marveling at her ability. Communication is a wonderful thing. Being able to communicate. They say that's one of the main reasons why marriages fail, is because couples do not communicate. If marriages fail that way, relationship with God fails that way. And so we need to communicate, that the communication of thy faith may do what? I love this. May become effectual. In other words, it's going to have an effect. Your faith is not just in your heart, but it's going to produce something. And I believe that faith communicated produces everything in your life, from spirituality to prosperity, financial blessing, joy, peace. But we're talking about healing tonight. And so it's very important that you communicate your faith effectually, and that you do not corrupt your communication by talking about your disease. So many talk about people about their disease. They don't talk about healing. They don't talk about the Savior. They don't talk about His blood. They don't talk about His stripes. They don't talk about the verses. There's hundreds of verses in the Bible that will apply to any illness that the enemy brings into your body. And so you need to learn those verses, to apply them. But he said that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. That's amazing right there. And then he tells you how to do that. He said, by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. People talk about Christians that are not spirit-filled and not word of faith people. They criticize people that are and say, oh, it's just that positive thinking. That's not what the Bible said. The Bible said when you acknowledge every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus, that it is the effectual communication of your faith. What does that mean? It means that's the faith that makes that mountain go jump into the sea. It's that faith that makes that sickness leave your body. It's that faith that works in your kidney. It's that faith that works in your liver. It's that faith that works in your bloodstream, praise God, because it is the Word of God. It is the Word of God. The Word of God is so powerful. By faith, we know the world was framed by the Word of God. And so when you get that Word of God alive in you, a pastor friend of mine called me about 9 o'clock this morning. He said, I got to preach tonight. I got nothing. You got anything for me? I said, I always got something for you, brother. He said, what? I said, preach on that verse over there where it talks about, I don't care how the gospel is preached, just as long as it's preached. He said it can even be preached in pretense. Look at that verse sometime. That is an amazing verse. He said, Paul said, I rejoice that the gospel is preached even if it's preached in pretense. What does that mean? That means if a hypocrite preaches it, he said, I don't care. He said, somebody not living for God, I don't care. If somebody is doing it for their own gain, I don't care, as long as the gospel is preached, because he knew the power of the gospel. It's not the power of the messenger. It's not the power of the church per se. It is the power of the Word of God that's in the messenger, in the church. And the Word of God is so much more powerful than the vessel. But praise God, he can put his treasure in an earthen vessel, and the treasure will still not be contaminated, but the vessel will be converted by the gospel that's in it. That's how powerful the Word of God is. And so when we begin to understand that, praise God, we can begin to acknowledge every good thing in us. And where there is emptiness, there can become fullness. Where there is pain, we can become pain-free. Every morning I wake up, and I wake up without any pain. And that's the first thing I do, is I say, thank you, Lord Jesus. I got no pain in my body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you've got no pain, thank God for it. If you've got pain, rebuke it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And so communicating your faith is an effectual thing by what you speak. And you have to learn to do that. And you won't ever be able to do that very effectively if you don't know the Word of God. Just saying nice things. Well, I know the Lord is good. That's great. And I know the Lord, those are great. But you've got to be able to zero in. I used the word the other night, laser. You got to get a laser faith to zero in on things. And it is only the Word of God that really gives you laser faith. Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. You want laser faith. That's much better than generic faith. laser faith. Everybody's got a little generic faith, but you've got to get laser faith where you can focus on the thing that is in hand. One day you might need healing. The next day you might need salvation for your grandchild. The next day you might need a financial need. You've got to have laser faith to be able to focus on that thing that is at hand. All right, let's talk about the next point I want to make is changing your lifestyle can be a catalyst for healing. Changing your lifestyle can be a catalyst for healing. So many people don't believe that, don't know that, don't understand this. Let's look at John chapter 5. And I'd like to read the whole 15 verses to you, but I won't. But this is the man that was at the pool and he'd been there 38 years. Let's look at what he says down in verse 8. Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Now let's look at verse number 14. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, this is an amazing verse, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee." Friend, it's a wonderful thing to be healed, but it is as just important as that we keep the healing, maintain the healing. I've seen a lot of people get healed. I mean, genuinely healed. They were dramatically changed, but in a day or a week or a month or a year, they were right back where they were because they didn't change their lifestyle. You said, "Oh, there's no sin in my life." Friend, it doesn't have to be a sin of commission. It can be a sin of omission. It might not be that you're out there whipping somebody or murdering somebody, a sin of commission. It might be something that you have omitted out of your life. Maybe you're not having a life of prayer. Maybe you're not having a life of praise. Maybe you're having a wrong attitude. Maybe you are bitter against somebody or something. Maybe you're just neglectful. The little foxes spoil the vine. And so Jesus warned him. He said, you got to have a lifestyle change. If you don't, he said, there's a good possibility. He didn't say, "I'm going to put it on you." He said, there's a good possibility that some worse thing is going to come up on you. Now let's look at what Jesus said. I love this because he said it more than once. He said, "Rise." This is what you need to do. When you hear the word of God concerning your healing, first thing you need to do is rise. That's what Jesus said, rise. Now what does that mean? Adapt the attitude of a victor as opposed to the attitude of a victim. Rise. Get up. Get up. Like the woman told the little boy, said, "Sit down in church." You always want to stand up. Sit down. You just stand up. Sit down. Stand up in the pew. Sit down. Finally, she looked at him. She said, "Thank you, Johnny, for sitting down." He said, "I'm still standing up in my heart." The devil wants you to sit down. But praise God, physically, if you're not strong, you stand up in your spirit and said, "My body, my flesh is going to follow my spirit. I'm going to rise. I'm going to have an attitude. I'm an overcomer. I'm a conqueror. I have an attitude that I am strong and not weak. Let the weak say I am strong." That's what the Bible's talking about right there. It's talking about rise up in your spirit. And so Jesus said, rise. Praise God. Remember in the book of Acts, chapter number 3, where Peter and John was going to church, and there was a guy that had been laying there. He'd been laying there for long years, begging for alms. It was a good place to get the people coming and going to give him an offering. They'd go in the church, feel better. They'd give it to him, either coming in, going out. But when he looked at Jesus, or when he looked at Peter and John, what did they say? "Silver and gold have I none," Peter said, "but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus." Oh, praise God, rise up, rise up. He didn't jump up quick enough for Peter. You know what Peter did? The Bible said he took him by the hand and raised him up. You know what? If there had been a camera there and a news reporter, then it said he didn't really get healed because Peter had to pull him up. If he had really got it, he'd have got it by himself. He didn't get it by himself. That's a lesson to the church that we need to help pull people up every way we can. Pull them up spiritually, pull them up financially, pull them up with encouragement, pull them up every way we can, pull them up in faith, praise God. He pulled him up, and the Bible said when he did, after he pulled him up, after he stood up, rise up. That's what Jesus said. The first thing he did is rise up. It'd been a long time for this man had been on his feet. People come into this building, it's been a long time since they had the right attitude. They've been a victim for a long time. What Pastor Brandon, myself, Pastor Brandon, what we're all trying to do, what you're trying to help us do, is we're trying to get people to rise up. It doesn't matter what they're in. We want you to stand up. We want you to rise up. We want you to know that God said you're not a victim. You are a victor. You're an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. You know, that's, you know, everything you need in God's half done. You know that. It's already half done. Praise God. You go into your wife's kitchen. You come home. You say, honey, what's for supper? She said, I hadn't started it yet. You know, it's going to be a long time before you get to eat. But she said, I got it on the stove. And it's almost ready. That doesn't mean it's ready. It means it's half done. Let me tell you about God's miracles. They're already half done. He said, by the blood of the Lamb. See, that's the half that's done. And the word of the testimony. You got to rise up. God's already done His part. Now He's waiting on us to do our part for the healing to manifest in our physical body as well as spiritually. And so He took him by the right hand. And when he helped him up, and then the Bible said after he was already up, what happened? Strength came into his ankles, the Bible said. It was after Peter pulled him up. Praise God. And so you got to, sometimes you don't always have somebody going to do it for you. You got to do it yourself. You got to force the issue. I'm not going to lay here. I'm not going to say, well, I can't get up. I'm not going to say, well, I guess it's just God's time. Take me out of this old world. I guess it's over. No, it's not. It's not over till God says it over somebody. Well, it don't have to be over till you say it's over. Praise God. You've got a real stake in this. And by the mouth, the confession is made. You've also got a real voice in this thing. You need to speak it out in Jesus' name. The second thing he said, take up thy bed. Take up thy bed. What did that mean? It meant in those days they carried him around on certain beds. When you saw a person on a bed like that, you knew what? He was sick. He was an invalid. He couldn't care for himself. But Jesus said, take up your bed. What did he mean by that? He meant erase every element of sickness that you possibly can. Eliminate all that atmosphere that you possibly can. There might be something you can't eliminate, but eliminate as much of it as you possibly can. The Bible said about the beggar man, he cast off his robe. What was that? That was a beggar's robe. They had a certain robe that identified beggars and blind beggars, particularly so that people would be benevolent to them. But praise God, when he cast off that robe, what he was saying was, I ain't going to be blind no more. This happened before he could see. He said, I'm not going to be blind anymore, and I'm not going to need your charity anymore. Charity is a good thing, but it's much better to be able to give it than it is to receive it. Because when you give it, praise God, it means you're doing all right. When you receive it, it means I got it for now, but tomorrow I'll be needing the same thing again. And so he cast it off, the blind man, because he knew he was going to be healed. Bartimaeus, praise God, have mercy on me, son of David. And so you got to remove those elements. And so Jesus would say, take up your bed. In other words, don't have that bed all fixed where people can see you're sick. Take it up. Rise up. Fold that bed up. Put it under your arm. Make them think rather than being a sick person, you're going on a camping trip, praise God. You're going deer hunting. I don't think they had deer. Well, I guess they did in certain parts. But anyway, he said, change the atmosphere. Eliminate those elements of being a victim and being sick. Get those out of your life. Praise God. You know, the Bible, and this is a little different application, but eliminate every provision for sickness in your life that you possibly can. I've always liked this verse, but never applied it here like this before, but it can be. Romans 13:14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof or the desires thereof. We always think that's talking about sin, which it is primarily. And I realize this verse is talking primarily about the lust of flesh. This principle also lends itself to aiding and abetting sickness. If you aid and abet your sickness, it will get worse. It will get worse. You've got to take dominion over that. And the third thing Jesus said, he said, walk. This has to do immediately after claiming your healing. If you're going to claim your healing, you need to do something. He said, walk. Not only doing something that you were not previously able to do physically, but spiritually aligning yourself with the path that God has for your life. Say, praise God, I've got a miracle, and I'm going to begin to evidence that miracle that has happened in me. I've got healed. I've got healed. Now I'm going to do some things. And you see it happen right here in these services. People start doing things they've never seen. I talked about the activity of your limbs. Do something you've never done. You hadn't been able to do it the last year, the last 5 years, last 20 years, praise God. Something has happened to me, and I want to manifest it by walking, Jesus said. Praise God. Someone might say that one has nothing to do with the other. Oh, yes, it does. Whether it's physical or spiritual, self-same spirit, it all ties together. Praise God. Why? And somebody said, well, you know, my lifestyle really didn't have anything to do with my healing. Oh, yes, it does. Yes, 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 it does. It does before and after. If you live certain kinds of lifestyles, you're going to develop sexually transmitted disease. If you use drugs, you're going to develop certain physical illnesses. And we like to talk about it. Those are easy targets. But also, just you just don't handle your intake of food in a nutritional way. It's going to affect you. Changing your lifestyle. And that's what Jesus did. When he said to that man, he said, go and don't sin no more, lest some worse thing come upon you. He said, you got to change your lifestyle. The first thing, Jesus had two expectations of him. Number one, Jesus expected him to go to church. The Bible said Jesus went to the temple looking for him. That's where he expected to be. And I don't care what this world says or what this church world says, God expects you to go to his house. Amen. David said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So the number one thing, if you want to receive your healing, maintain your healing, get in church. And I'm just going to tell you, don't get in a church that's going to attack your faith. I listen to preachers. I just have to turn them off. Because I'm a pretty mature Christian. I've been around a while. But I can just, their voice just starts negative, starts critiquing things and questioning things and criticizing things. And they start attacking certain people. You know, they'll start attacking Kenneth Copeland or John Hagee or T.D. Jakes or Creflo or somebody. They start attacking them. They're not really attacking them. They're attacking what they believe. And when they attack what they believe, much of what they believe is what I believe. So it has a negative effect. And so when you go to church, make sure it's a church that's going to help you. Make sure that when you leave, you feel stronger in faith and you know you're stronger than you was when you came. Yes, sir. You know, I hear about people leaving churches. One of the great churches here in town, I heard about a couple hundred people leaving that big church a while back. I didn't have a problem with that. You want to go wherever you want to go. But then I heard where they went. They left a church that is Holy Ghost filled, that teaches the word every Sunday, and went to a church that's very popular here in the city, and it didn't have nothing to do with this church. But they went to a church that does not espouse the teaching of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, does not believe in the gifts of the Spirit, does not believe in the miracles, no word of faith. And so they left that atmosphere of faith to go to another church that is much more negative. It's big. It's got money. It's got lots of entertainment, lots of things going on, but it's not going to be a place where it feeds their faith. Remember this, everything you control. Now, if you're married to somebody and they're not a faith-filled person, they're not saved, stay married to them. That's the will of God. God told you to do it. It's too late to fix that now. So, I have people tell me all the time, well, he's just not a Christian. I'm going to divorce him. You don't have that right. Sorry. You got to live with it. The Bible said live with him, live with her, that by your conversation, that word conversation means lifestyle, that you might convert him. So you got to put up with a lot of junk that I don't have to put up with. Sister Becky's just, she builds my faith all the time. I can't remember one thing she's ever done or said that in any way eroded my faith. Well, that's quite a testimony. You live with somebody 48 years. I just can't remember it. Might have done it, but she did. She hid it. I can't tell. But if you're not married to somebody like that, you're going to have to deal with some things that I don't have to deal with. You say, well, I don't know. Now I want to get rid of them. You should have thought of that before you married them. There's some things I don't understand about life. The number one of the main things I don't understand is when you have to make a choice for your companion for the rest of your life, when you're so young, you don't have the experience or the intellect to make that decision. I don't understand that. Take it up with God. I don't understand it. But what I started to say is, everything, your church, your circumstance, your family, your spouse, everything that you can possibly control, make sure as best as in your control that it's something that is going to build up your faith. And if it's not going to build up your faith outside of your marriage, get out of it. Get out of it. You say, well, my job is really discouraging to me. That can be a different situation. You have to make the decision. You have to make a decision in your job of whether you need to be there or not. And you have to decide, is this going to destroy me? Your decision. Is this going to destroy me, or am I going to be a missionary here? You have to make that decision, and only you can make that choice. But everything, and particularly when you choose a church not that has a beautiful building, has a wall. That's not the reason why you choose a church. Is this church going to teach me the Word of God in such a way, faith cometh by hearing? Now, just because they quote the Scripture and preach sermons does not mean that it's going to increase your faith. I've been in churches. I was in Bloomington, Indiana, several years ago. I was going to preach on a, I think it was a Friday night or something, Thursday night, I don't remember. Anyway, I knew a man that I'd known when I was a kid. And so I had some love for him, and I'd known him as a little boy, 12 years old or whatever. And so I knew he pastored there. And I went to his church on a Wednesday night. This has been a few years ago. And I'm going to tell you, I barely got out of there spiritually alive. I like to become an atheist right there in that church. All my teaching, it was severely under attack by a sweet guy, by a well-meaning man, by a good man, by a moral man, by a good husband, by a good father. But he's totally off the chart in what the Word of God says. His subject that night was, let's be negative. And his whole thought was, he had a little battery out there about the positive point and the negative. I understand all that. I'm not an electrician, but I can figure that out. And the point was that the church is the negative force in the world. That was his whole point. And it was the most depressing thing. I looked around. He had a building seat 500. There wasn't 50 people there. I sat on the back seat in a pair of blue jeans and a Wrangler shirt, and so they didn't know I was a preacher. And when they looked around at me, I just looked like a sinner. I'm in blue jeans. I don't have no Bible. They didn't give me a place to praise the Lord. So I'm just sitting there like a bump on a pickle. And they took one look at me and said, that's just some guy off the street. And so they chose not to speak to me. Not one person spoke to me. Not one person shook my hand. What's the point? Those kind of churches really do not build your faith. They probably hurt your faith. You get to pray and study and watch television and do whatever you can to get pumped up just so you can go to service to be bled dry. You don't want to go there, folks. You just don't want to go there. You don't want to go there. Say, so, well, he had sin in his life. No, the sin's going to be there. You don't have to talk a lot about sin. It will take care of itself. You got to talk about the cure. If you get cancer in your body and you go to the doctor does not put you through medical school to make you understand what cancer is. He immediately starts talking about the solution. And that's what the church is. We don't have to tell you about sin. Some of you, that's all you've ever lived, and you know it better than I do. You could tell me a few things about it. A friend of mine was pastoring a guy, and the pastor had been raised in his church all of his life, and so he was going through a lot of sins and whatever. He said, brother, why would you do that? He said, all sin is the same. He said, now, brother, he said, you've been in your church all your life. He said, all sin ain't the same. Some sin is a lot sweeter than others. And the point is, some of you know a lot about sin. That's not what we talk about in this church. What we talk about is the blood of Jesus. What we talk about is the healing from sin, the deliverance from sin, the healing in your body. And so you got to find a church. Said, oh, I just want them to preach about hell. I want them to preach it hot. I want them to preach about sin. Number one, the righteousness of God is going to take away your sins, so there's no need to talk about that. And hell, you ain't going to go there. Why do you want to know a lot about it? Praise God. That's not the two subjects that are most important. The most important is the love of God and the Word of God, the righteousness of God that can take you out of every sin, every problem, every sickness, every disease. Praise God. And so that's what we're here for. And so number one, Jesus expected to find him at church. The second thing is, he expected he'd stop sinning. Those were the two expectations. God intends for you to go to church, and God intends for you to change your lifestyle if you want to get healed and stay healed. Praise God. Hallelujah. I mean, we had a bad couple weeks ago, but nothing changed in our house except our faith was a little stronger, a little more vocal, a little more verbal. We talked a little more about the power of God, but wasn't nobody crying, wasn't nobody saying, I don't know why me. Why me? There's a devil. That's why me. You ought to know that by now. He's looking for everybody he can devour. The Bible said he's going about looking to see whom he can devour. That's the reason why. But praise God, you need to say, I'm healed in Jesus, and I'm going to stay healed. And praise God, I come to this house. It's just like starting up my Generac and saying, in case the lights go out, my Generac will kick on. Praise God. My neighbors might not have light, but I'll have light. Oh, those generators. When they first got them little generators, you just run one light. Them big generators they got, guess what? In Houston, where it's 103 and the humidity is off the chart, praise God, your air conditioner will run on a generator. What are you saying? I'm saying, praise God, if you'll get this thing and you'll maintain it every day, you'll come to God's house, you'll pray, you'll study the Word of God. When the devil comes in like a flood, it can be a doctor's report, it can be a financial report. You'll say, oh, it does not matter, praise God, because I go to church, I've changed my lifestyle, and the Lord Jesus Christ is my healer. By his stripes I am healed. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Woo! The man at the gate. There's three of these. The man at the pool, he went to church. That's what he did. Jesus found him in the temple. The man at the gate that got healed, remember, what did he do? The Bible said after his ankles received strength, he went to the temple. What did he do? Walking and leaping, praising God. It's amazing. After these people received these healings from the Lord, that they went to church and they praised God. That's God's pattern. If you want to get healed and you want to stay safe. There's three that I hadn't mentioned. There was the 10 lepers. Remember them? Jesus healed all of them, or they were all healed. And he said, where are the other nine? Because they went off after they got healed. And he said, only one came back. Only one came back to praise me. Only one came back to glorify me. The leper was a type of sinner. But he turned back, the Bible said. That's a type of repentance. I'm talking about changing your lifestyle. And the Bible said he glorified God. That's his worship. He fell down on his face and he gave thanks. You say, oh, this thing is too hard. Well, just go ahead and be sick then. Just go ahead and die. It's hard. Oh, it's not as hard as some things. Praise God. I work the Word of God every day in my life. Praise God. And it pays big dividends. It pays big dividends. Hallelujah. If it was easy, every leper in Israel would have been healed, but only Naaman was. If it was easy, every leper, every widow woman would have had a life-sustaining supply of food while everybody else had a drought and was in hunger, but only one widow. I'm not telling you it's easy to live this victorious life. I'm telling you it's possible, and I'm telling you it's worth the big dividends in Jesus' name. And so you've got your choice. You can either listen to the doomsday howlers. You can listen to people say, well, God doesn't do that anymore. Or you can believe the Word of God. You can listen to me and a million more just like me that have been healed, that have been saved, that have been kept, that have been changed, that have been provided, that have been blessed. Praise God. I am a living testimony that God is a Savior, that God is a God of blessing, and that God is a healer. And so the question I ask you tonight in closing, I didn't get near through. The question I ask you tonight is, whose report are you going to believe? Praise God. Becky wrote that great song. How many years ago, Becky? 20 years ago, 30 years ago? 30 years ago. How many people in this church never heard that song? Whose report shall you believe? Becky wrote that song. It's an amazing song. Whose report? You're always going to get two reports on everything. Everything. You're going to get two reports. The question is, whose report are you going to believe? Some of you know Dr. Tony Evans, Dr. Lois Evans, pastor of the great Oak Cliff Bible Church in South Dallas, one of the greatest Bible teachers you'll ever hear. But she has been diagnosed with inoperable cancer, and she is manifesting her faith. And so we just got the tape of her and Dr. Her name's Lois, and Dr. Tony sitting there on the couch talking about it. Let's stand together if you would. I want to show you this little video because I believe it'll bless you. But this is what we do when we get a bad report from this world.
One of the things I thought of one of the days when I was lying on a treatment table at the homeopathic treatment center is an old song by Becky Fender. I don't know if you remember Becky Fender, but an old song that says, "Whose report will you believe?" And it says, "I will believe the report of the Lord, that I have victory, I have healing, I have joy, I have peace." And that song just popped up one day. So I journaled it, and then when I got home and had enough energy that day, I went online and downloaded the words. So that song, for sure, is in my journal, and I look at that regularly. And then somebody else sent me scriptures of healing, just scriptures of healing. And it's on a CD. So that's my devotional time. I just pop that on in the morning in our bedroom and listen to healing of soothing my heart and spirit. Because, you know, we have times of fear. We've had a lot of crying times.
My big prayer is that, and your prayer has been too, that God uses this major challenge, biggest challenge we've ever had.
Yep, biggest
in,
one.
In
yep.
life because of the, you know, how serious the doctors tell us it is. We want God, because of how serious it is, to use this for his greater glory.
That's right. That's
and
right.
for the impact in people's lives.
Right.
And if he can get glory out of this uncomfortable season.
And he will.
Then you win.
Yeah.
Others win.
Yeah.
And he's glorified.
And that's what it's all about, his glory. So
Amen.
I just wonder, you can help me out. When I have those times of fear or questions or crying and things like that, I'm so grateful that the Lord brings me back really quick to the Becky Fender song or the healing scriptures and just his promises.
Praise God. Praise God. And the devil, what the devil means for evil, when the devil attacked Pastor Becky just a few weeks ago with cancer, here we are just a few weeks later, the doctor said, "You're cancer free." Praise God. And we don't believe for a moment that God had anything to do with Pastor Becky receiving cancer, but we believe that he's using that, and he's going to use that to heal Dr. Lois. Praise God. We believe she's healed in Jesus' name. It's a, you know, Tony and Lois, they come from a Baptist background. It's a little different, a little longer journey from a Baptist background to a healing of cancer than it is from a Word of Faith or Pentecost. The journey is just a little longer, but you'll get there. And so they need our prayers. Now, what I want you to do, a pastor in Dallas, that way's north. I want everybody in this building to turn to the north toward the exit sign. I want you to stretch your hand out. Praise God. Her name is Dr. Lois Evans. I want everybody in this building to call her name. Dr. Lois Evans, we speak the word of faith to you that by the name of Jesus Christ, he has sent his word to heal you. And we bind this awful spirit of cancer. And Lord, we release the healing stripes of Jesus Christ back. Dr. Lois, we believe that you're not going to die. We believe that you're going to live in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise God. Because you're believing the report of the Lord. That's for Dr. Lois. There's somebody in this building tonight. Somebody that needs a miracle of healing for your body. You need a miracle for your... I've said this three times. and none of it was pre-prepared, so it must be somebody's grandchild. Somebody needs a miracle for their grandchild. And I've said it three times. I never thought about that until I got to this pulpit, but it didn't come across my mind today. And when that happens, and it just keeps coming to my mind when I'm preaching, I know that it's for somebody. There's somebody's grandchild. I don't know whether it's a sickness in your grandchild or they have a drug problem or what. There's somebody needs to come up here and stand for your grandchild tonight. But there's somebody in this building needs a healing in their own body. There's other people that need healing in your